Come on. He grabbed Two Flowers' reluctant arm and dragged him down the street.
My luggage!
Blast your luggage! Stay here much longer and you'll go where you don't need luggage. Come on! Screamed Rincewind. They jogged on through the crowd of frightened people leaving the area, while the wizard took great mouthfuls of cool dawn air. Something was puzzling him. I'm sure all the candles went out, he said. So how did the drum catch fire?
I don't know, moaned Two Flower. It's terrible, Rincewind. We were getting along so well, too.
Rincewind stopped in astonishment, so that another refugee cannoned into him and spun away with an oath.
Getting on? Yes, a great bunch of fellows. I thought language was a bit of a problem, but they were so keen for me to join their party, they just wouldn't take no for an answer. Really friendly people, I thought.
Rincewind started to correct him, then realised he didn't know how to begin.
It'll be a blow for old Broadman, Two Flower continued. Still, he was wise. I've still got the Rhinoo he paid for his first premium.
Rincewind didn't know the meaning of the word premium, but his mind was working fast.
You insured the drum, he said. You bet Broadman it wouldn't catch fire.
Oh, yes. Standard valuation, 200 Rhinoo. Why do you ask?
Rincewind turned and stared at the flames racing towards them and wondered how much of Ankh Morpork could be bought for 200 Rhinoo. Quite a large piece, he decided. Only not now. Not the way those flames were moving. He glanced down at the tourist.
You,
he began, and searched his memory for the worst word in the Trob tongue. The happy little Bitrobby didn't really know how to swear properly.
You,
he repeated. Another hurrying figure bumped into him, narrowly missing him with the blade over its shoulder. Rincewind's tortured temper exploded.
You little, such a one who, while wearing a copper nose ring, stands in a footbath atop Mount Rua 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 during a heavy thunderstorm and shouts that Alohura, goddess of lightning, has the facial features of a diseased Uluru Ahua root.
Just doing my job, said the figure, stalking away.
Every word fell as heavily as slabs of marble. Moreover, Rincewind was certain that he was the only one who heard them. He grabbed Two Flower again.
Let's get out of here, he suggested.
One interesting side effect of the fire in Ankh Morpork concerns the in-sewer ants policy, which left the city through the ravaged roof of the broken drum, was wafted high into the Discworld's atmosphere on the ensuing thermal, and came to Earth several days and a few thousand miles away on an Uluruaha bush in the Bitrobi Islands. The simple, laughing islanders subsequently worshipped it as a god, much to the amusement of their more sophisticated neighbours. Strangely enough, the rainfall and harvests in the next few years were almost supernaturally abundant, and this led to a research team being dispatched to the islands by the Minor Religions Faculty of the Unseen University. Their verdict was that it only went to show. The fire, driven by the wind, spread out from the drum faster than a man could walk. The timbers of the Widdershin Gate were already on fire when Rincewind, his face blistered and reddened from the flames, reached them. By now, he and Two Flower were on horseback. Mounts hadn't been that hard to obtain. A wily merchant had asked 50 times their worth and had been left gaping when 1,000 times their worth had been pressed into his hands. They rode through just before the first of the big gate timbers descended in an explosion of sparks. Morpork was already a cauldron of flame. As they galloped up the red-lit road, Rincewind glanced sideways at his travelling companion, currently trying hard to learn to ride a horse.
Bloody hell, he thought. He's alive. Me too. Who'd have thought it? Perhaps there is something in this reflected sound of underground spirits.
It was a cumbersome phrase. Rincewind tried to get his tongue around the thick syllables that were the word in Two Flower's own language.
Echolyrics, he tried. Ecrogonothics. Echogonomics.
That would do. That sounded about right. Several hundred yards downriver from the last smouldering suburb of the city, a strangely rectangular and apparently heavily waterlogged object touched the mud on the Widdershin bank. Immediately it sprouted numerous legs and scrabbled for a purchase. Hauling itself to the top of the bank, the luggage, streaked with soot, stained with water, and very, very angry, shook itself and took its bearings. Then it moved away at a brisk trot, a small and incredibly ugly imp that was perching on its lid, watching the scenery with interest.